So we're actually already ahead of the game. We've been a church of God's presence for 35, 40 years now. That's always been a big thing here in this, is having the presence of God. Many churches aren't blessed that way. We're a worshiping church. Ephesians 3:20, look at it again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do above what we can ask or think, based on the power that works in us. So the power is unlimited. The power that works in us is unlimited. It's not limited to what we can think or understand or intellectualize. Somebody says, well, I can't figure out how God's going to do that. But is what he does based on what you can figure out? No. Dunamis is a power that's not of this world. It's a power that's of heaven. It's a power that comes from heaven. What it looks impossible to our thinking is not impossible to the power that works within us. Or to the one who works within us. Because that power that works within us is the one that works within us. There's a scripture where Jesus sent his disciples out and they came back rejoicing because the devils are subject to us in your name. Which, by the way, tells me that they used the name of Jesus when they went out. The same name that we, by the way, have. They were subject to us in your name, Lord. He said, don't rejoice in that the devils are subject to you. They're subject to you. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. So, you know, the thing is that we need to rejoice. We need to just believe that healings and miracles are normal. That's just part of who we are because of who we serve and who we love and who's in us. What we should be astonished at is the one who's bigger than the universe lives inside of us. The one who's able to do all things lives inside of us. The one who created heaven and earth lives inside of us. The one who is holy beyond belief dwells among us. Glory to God. That's what we ought to be astonished by every day. If we're astonished by the fact that the Holy One, the Mighty One, lives in us. You know, he's not of this world. He has made us to be not of this world. Praise God. Getting into some far out stuff, right, man? Praise God. Heavy stuff, man, right? No, I know which. That's the way I used to. That's what we used to call heavy revy. Anyway, heavy revelation, heavy revy. Anyway, okay. You know what I want to say is that whatever you're facing today can be moved by power. Whatever you're facing in life can be moved and changed by power. I just want to look at this Mark 11:22-23. Very familiar scripture, but I think I'm going to show a little something you haven't thought about before. Mark 11:22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, a better translation. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He says, have faith in God, or a better rendering is have the faith of God. So now we're on the subject of faith. I thought we were talking about power. Well, you can't talk about power without talking about faith, because they work together. Amen. Power backs up faith. But we're actually talking about power, faith, and authority. They all work together. Faith activates power. I don't have time to teach on all three separately, so I'm going to give you kind of a mixed up version, put them all there just to get a couple of points across about each. And you see, I cannot move a mountain, but faith can. Power can. The miraculous power of God can move a mountain. And faith comes from where? Okay, it comes from hearing. Okay, we're getting that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but the actual faith comes from God himself. I looked up at a bunch of parallel Bibles here the other day. I was looking at the scripture, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can probably all quote that. But I looked it up in the Aramaic Standard Bible or something like that, and it says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Faith is a gift that comes to us from God. And that's a little bit different than what I've thought about before, because I say, well, faith comes by hearing. If I hear the word, yeah, I'll get faith, but that faith still comes from God. So there's a scripture in what is it? 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It says one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of faith. To another he gives faith by the same Spirit. And it talks about faith being a gift. You know, I'm going to talk about Ian Andrews. Anybody ever heard of Ian Andrews? He's a British guy who's a preacher out of the Lutheran Church in England. God told him years ago to begin to preach healing and pray for people. So he began to do that, kind of reluctantly, kind of like John Wimber. But he said, you know, he would pray for people, but just not expect much to happen. You know, I'd pray for them, praise God, not much to happen. Well, one day he was preaching in a church, and they rolled down a lady in a wheelchair down in front of him. He's up here preaching, and this woman's right there in a wheelchair. He said, oh, boy, this is going to be embarrassing. This is going to be embarrassing. But as he preached, the gift of faith came upon him, and he just knew that whatever he said was going to take place. He had a gift, a supernatural gift of faith, and he told a woman to get out of her wheelchair, and she jumped up. Not only did she walk, she ran around the church three or four times. Said everybody he prayed for that day got instantly healed. God had given him a supernatural gift of faith. And he said, but the next 3 weeks, nobody he prayed for got healed. He said, I still felt the same. I still had the same emotions. I thought I still had that gift of faith, but I only had it for that day. Nobody he prayed for the next 3 weeks got healed because he was still trying to operate in a gift that wasn't there. And it's just interesting to think about. So anyway, that's mountain-moving faith. That's what he's talking about when you doubt it not in your heart and believe that what you say shall come to pass. You've got to have supernatural faith for that to happen. It comes by the Word, but it comes from God. Here's a point that I heard another minister say. The gift of faith is not something we can work up or strive to generate. We must simply pray the prayer, God, give me your faith. You know, the Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? He says for us to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts. How many have prayed lately, Lord, give me words of knowledge. Lord, give me prophecies. I mean, don't show your hands, but sometimes we don't just do what the Bible says. He says, if you'll ask for them, I'll give them to you. Praise God. Anyway, So, we just need to ask God, give me your faith. It's a mistake to try to hype things up and rev things up, which we're famous for. Glory to God, I believe God's going to do something today. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Well, maybe God is, maybe he isn't, but I don't think hyping it up is going to make any difference. In fact, it may mess things up. We actually need to rev things down a few notches to where we can hear God and then obey what he tells us to do, like Jesus did. So what I want to emphasize is that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and that faith is a gift that comes from God, but the word we hear has to be a word that has faith in it if we're receiving faith from the Word. What I said earlier was, what I found is that you will get much better a view of healing by listening to people who believe in it than you do by listening to people who don't believe in it. So if you want to receive faith for something, find somebody who believes it. Listen to them. Because a believing word will impart faith to you rather than imparting unbelief. You see, unbelief is faith, but it's faith in the wrong thing. It's faith that contradicts the Word of God. Listen to people who believe in healing, and you'll start believing it too. Like I said earlier, God confirms his word with signs following, not what somebody thought about it, not erroneous thinking. He confirms his word when you have the right understanding of what it means. He will confirm it. So if he's not confirming it, maybe we haven't quite got the right understanding yet. Okay, now very quickly here, I want to continue, and we're going to finish with this one. I'm going to talk just a moment on the subject of authority. We've talked about power. We've talked about faith. I want to talk about authority. We want to put this into the mix because we have to. Because we're talking about power, and there are two different Greek words in the Bible that are translated power in the New Testament. One was dunamis. Remember, we talked about that. Which means the miraculous power of God. The other word translated power is the Greek word ekklousia. Say ekklousia. All right. Praise God. It's not that. It's just Greek. So now you know some Greek. Praise God. Anyway. Oh, did you learn that in the Catholic Church? Okay. Praise God. Anyway, the word ekklousia means authority. So sometimes when you see the word power in the New Testament, it means miraculous power. At other times, it means authority. So we're going to distinguish between the two. Luke 9:1 says, "Then he, that is Jesus, called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Now, Matthew says it a little bit differently than Luke. He says in Matthew 10:1, the same situation, just worded differently. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Authority against spirits and authority to heal. And we'll find as we look at the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel," that this same authority was not only given to his apostles and his close disciples, he also gave it to all who believe on him. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Lord, where they came rejoicing, saying, "Even the devils are subject to us in your name." The exact same thing. Oh, you're going to like this. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Jesus replaced himself in the earth with us. And I'll show you that in a minute. Just hang in there. I don't want to jump ahead too far. But anyway, in Luke 10:19, hang with me for just a couple more minutes. We'll be done. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." And that is authority. I give you authority. The legitimate authority to do it. What's authority? Authority is like the state of Virginia makes driving laws. They are the authority that does that, but the police force is the power that carries it out, enforces it. That's the difference between authority and power. So, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the strength of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, in this serpents and scorpions thing, what does that mean? It's referring to wicked, piercing, stinging, artfully malicious entities or evil spirits. It's really talking about evil spirits. And he says, power or authority to trample on them, to tread on them. That sounds kind of messy to me. I don't know about you. Go out and stomp on a bunch of snakes and scorpions. Could get kind of messy. You know, what God called us to do in this earth may be a little bit messy. I'm not talking about real snakes now. I'm talking about spirits, wicked spirits. He says to trample them and to heal what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. How many kinds of sickness and infirmities do we have authority over? All. Well, you know, maybe I can pray for a headache, but what about cancer? All. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And by the way, none of this will cause harm to you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Nothing shall by any means hurt you when you're trampling on snakes and scorpions spiritually. Amen. That's what it says. In other words, you don't have to be afraid to exercise this authority. What if I speak to the devil and he gets me, you know? What if I command the devil and he comes after me? Hey, something to think about. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid to exercise authority. That's the authority we have as believers. I said it before, we are Satan's worst nightmare, especially when we realize the authority we have. Unfortunately, we have this authority, but we don't recognize it. We're sitting here, okay, praise God, this is good. When are you going to exercise authority? There are a few things Jesus gave to us. One of those things was the authority of his name. That may be the most powerful thing we have. Another thing was he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we have authority in the name of Jesus. Here's what I said earlier. When Jesus went to heaven, he replaced himself with us in the earth. We are the body of... He's the head, he's in heaven, and we are the body of Christ. His body is us in the earth. He gave us authority while he was in the earth. He said, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Then he went to heaven, and he sent the same Holy Spirit to us that was with him. To be with us and to be in us. So when we use the name of Jesus, we are exercising our privilege to use his authority. It's the same as him using his own authority. Amen. Oh, praise God. Will we always get immediate results when we do that? Have we? No. I want to tell you a story I read in a book a couple of weeks ago. It was about a ministry trip down to Brazil, and there was this lady on the prayer team, I think with Randy Clark and those guys. A lady on the prayer team, they were praying for sick people. I believe it was in Brazil. And this one lady felt impressed to pray for this blind guy. I don't think he was blind from birth, but had somehow been blinded years earlier. And just had like whites over his eyes. What's that? Earlier than birth. Oh, no. Earlier than the day he was being prayed for. Anyway, she felt led to pray for him for 5 hours. I said, what do you think she was praying? In the name of Jesus, eyes, I command you to see. In the name of Jesus, blindness, I command you to leave. She was exercising authority. Said for 5 hours she prayed and there was no results at all. So finally they left. They had to wrap up the meeting and actually leave the country. And the pastor called Randy about 3 days later and said that the man went home and he went to bed. And the next day, nothing changed. He went to sleep. The next day, on the second day, woke up, nothing had changed. On the third day, he got out of bed. He had brand new eyes and could see. Amen. Brand new eyes. Okay, I know that's a little hard to believe. You start hearing this kind of stuff, you say, whoa, that can't happen, can it? It can happen. Praise God. I've heard more than one person say, you know, we watch the eyes go from white to gray to brown right before our eyes. But the thing was, she felt impressed to pray for 5 hours and saw no results. But eventually, her authority in Jesus' name prevailed. And those eyes came into his use in his head. So he had new eyes. So the thing is, sometimes we give up on prayer because we don't see instant results. Instant results. I want to share one more testimony. We'll be done here. But, you know, I've already talked about us being... Is everybody on board with the thing that Jesus gave us authority to use his name? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. What is the authority we have in Jesus' name? It's the authority to cast out devils or authority over unclean spirits. So it's spiritual. The authority we have is spiritual. And we also have authority over all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Those are the two things we have authority over. That's one of the reasons I said about Vincent's friend that he was praying for. Said not only ask God to save him, but use authority to tell the devils that have him bound up to leave. See, that's exercising something we do have as authority. Amen. And so, Mark's version says all that, so I'm not going to go through it again since we do believe that, I think. We have authority over all devils and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. That's what we have. We are them that believe, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Where do we apply this? In our prayers. You see, we often pray things over people. Now, this is just a point I want to make because this will help you. I believe this will help you if we understand this. We often pray good things over people and ask God to bless them and to help them and to change them. You know, we do that. But we neglect to exercise dominion over the evil spirits that are causing the problem. You know, the only thing that's keeping heaven from touching earth right here is the layer of principalities and powers above us. That we have the authority to break through, by the way. We have the authority to pull those things down, and heaven will touch earth. And whenever heaven touches earth, dunamis is released. Power is released. You know things you didn't know before. You know, when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain with Jesus, and it said that he was transfigured before them. Now, he had just told them a few days ago, said, you know, some of you who stand here among you shall not taste death until they see the kingdom coming with power. So he took them up in the mountain, and he was transfigured before them, and it said his clothes glistened and shone. And it said there appeared to him Moses and Elijah. I couldn't just help but ask the question, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Oh, by the way, boys, I want to introduce Moses to you, and here's Elijah. I don't think it did that. I think they just knew who it was by the dunamis of the kingdom. They just knew because the power of God just... It's like the guy, the rich man who died, the beggar named Lazarus died, and the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes in torment, and he saw Lazarus afar off in the bosom of Abraham. How did he know that was Abraham? He had never met Abraham. See, in those situations, you just know stuff you didn't know before. That's how words of knowledge work. That's how prophecy works. It's because of the power that works within us. When heaven touches earth, more power is released. That was just a side thought. You know, Jenny and I came over here and prayed last night because I've been studying this stuff. We just prayed. Devil, in the name of Jesus, come down. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you have no place here. We just did that about 30 minutes. Because I believe that's what we ought to do. If we do more of that, that's how revivals get started. People pray, and they pray effectively. They pray in a way that does damage to the kingdom of darkness. And then those things leave and dissipate, and heaven is, you know, you can feel the presence of heaven when it comes. It's like it's just a thickness. And it's like you walk in a room and say, oh, my God, I'm home. This is wonderful. Anyway, so we need to be persistent. Now, Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Okay, I wanted to skip that because we just talked about it. We do believe that we have authority, that as believers we have authority over devils and to cure diseases. And so that's what we have. We are them that believe. And we apply that through prayer. Yeah, there we go. So when we're praying, let's be sure not to just ask God to do something. Lord, would you give that brother a hunger for you, Lord, that he'll come? Why don't you bind that devil that's keeping him from having a hunger? And the rest of it will happen on its own. Amen. Exercise authority over the thing we have authority over. Is unclean spirits, all devils. Now, I learned this from an interview I was listening to of Carlos Anacondia. Anybody ever heard of Carlos Anacondia? He's not a snake. That's what Jenny says. Sound like a snake to me. No, he's not. Carlos Anacondia, Venezuela. Been a minister of the gospel for many years. And he's probably in his 60s, maybe 70s now. Anyway, he's preached crusades throughout Venezuela. Marvelous crusades. And he'll tell you about how they have these crusades and the presence of God increases over 3 or 4 weeks. It'll start good and they'll have healings and miracles and then the presence of God will be stronger. After about 3 or 4 weeks, it's just like amazing. The anointing continues to increase. But anyway, he said that in preparation for the crusades, and all this was done through an interpreter, but I got this out of it. He would gather people together to pray about the ruling principalities over the area. You know, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in heavenly places or high places. That's our battle, is against spiritual wickedness. If we deal with that, all the rest of it will take care of itself. But anyway, he said he would gather people together to pray against the ruling principalities. And they would simply pray in the name of Jesus and command the principalities and wicked spirits to let go of the people. And he wrote a book called, what's it called? Is it Listen to Me, Satan? I believe that's the name of the book. And that's how he read, "Listen to me, Satan. I command you to let the people go. I command you, spirit of blindness." See, there's a scripture that says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine into their hearts. The only thing that's keeping people from receiving the gospel is a spirit of blindness. And he would say, "Spirit of blindness, in the name of Jesus, I command you to let the people go. I command you to leave." And this, he would get people together and do that. And he compared it to bombarding the heaven, the heavens, with the name of Jesus, the authority that we have against wicked spirits. And he said, that once they did that for a while, he had a vision one time. He saw in the vision a bunch of what looked like Roman soldiers who had thrown their weapons down, and they were all running around, running into each other in confusion. And he knew at that point that the enemy's camp was totally in confusion after praying that for a while. And he said, when he got up on the stage to preach, he had 200 people underneath the platform praying against principalities and powers in the name of Jesus while he was preaching. And then people would get saved. Miracles would happen, and it would grow. You know, so you get one miracle happens, then the next night there's twice as many people. Then the next night there's twice as many people. So this is something we need to begin to exercise. And if we would just open our mouths and exercise the authority he gave us. And we can take away from the devil, take stuff away. We can spoil his house. We have to bind the strong man first. You can bind the strong man, but then not follow up. So what good did it do? If when you bound the strong man, then you lead people to Christ when they're able to receive. Amen. You take them away from the devil. So how do we exercise that authority that we have in Jesus' name? Devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of that person. Devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of my finances. Devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of my body. Right. Spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Amen. Spirit of cancer, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I'm just giving you ways that we use this authority. Sickness, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. That's how you do it. Right. So does anybody believe here that we have authority over unclean spirits? Amen. Let me see a show of hands. Anybody believe that? Okay, you're still on this. Okay, nobody on the fence. Does anybody believe we have authority to cure diseases and physical problems? That's what Jesus gave us authority to do. And they have what they call a five-step prayer model. I'm not going to try to teach that to you because it would take a while. And, that's something, I'm just basically a means of praying, a system of doing it. But as we close today, I just want to ask, is there anybody having a physical condition of any kind that you're dealing with, any kind of pain, any kind of discomfort, any kind of sickness? Go ahead and raise your hand. Don't be shy. This is a time to raise your hand, okay? I see we got 1, 2, 3. Anybody over here? Okay. Anybody else? Any kind of pain, discomfort? Okay, back there. Now, what I want to do is get you to hold your hand up and keep it held up there. Anybody else got pain, discomfort, any kind of thing? Hunter, back there. Okay, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Anybody else? Now, go ahead and raise your hand. It's not a time to be shy. Okay. Amen. So what we're going to do then is all the rest of you folks that are around these people with their hands raised up, I want you to put your hands on them and begin to exercise authority. What we're going to do is command the devil to leave them, command sickness to leave, command sickness, pain to leave. Okay, prayer people, where you at here? Come on. Come on now. Come on now, prayer people. Come on, prayer people. No, just stay where you are. The people, prayer people.